on today's episode of the Op Nerd Podcast, I want to jump into something that most of us, I think, have a deep understanding of, but this is for our noobs, our folks that are newer to us, this idea that human error is super duper boring. So let's jump right in. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC, the Hop Nerd Podcast. Before we dive right into this little subject on human error, do me a favor. Head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Check out everything that we've got going on over there. Check out the resources page. You can download the videos that I make. You can download them and you can go use them. The only rule is do good with them. That's it. I tend to try my best to add to that. And we've added a little bit over time. I've just not quite had enough time at home yet to make more videos and create more guides and create more resources and all the stuff that, again, you put to good use. There's a bunch there, but not quite as much as what I hoped for yet. I've got a lot to create, a lot on my list. So keep an eye on that, because there's a day when you're going to go back and look and it's going to like double. So make sure you're checking that out. At the website, you can listen to the pod. If you're looking for a handy dandy way to listen to the podcast, you know, while you're at work doing, you know, busy business, what's that meme, right? The business, doing that stuff, but you need something in the background, it's a great way to do it. Just open up the webpage, go to the podcast player, hit play, hide it behind that work doc, put on your headset. Like, you know, I just came off of a very business Teams meeting, right? You know, one of those things when you just need that moment where it's like, okay, I'm working on some stuff, but I just need to be left alone and I need something to fill my ear holes. That's a great way to do it. And you can do that with YouTube. You can do it with all kinds of stuff, but we always love it. I always love it when you do it with the podcast, of course, right? So a great way to do that. And you can learn about the services that I provide, from keynotes to operational learning workshops and learning team stuff and human and organizational performance stuff and coaching and consulting and on and on and on and on. Would love to come out and help your organization or be at your special event doing a keynote or teaching a workshop or having these conversations or helping you with hop strategy and everything in between. You just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. The easy peasy lemon squeezy. I will reply to you as soon as I can and we'll, you know, jump on the horn. And we'll have a conversation about what that looks like and see if we can make it happen. And I love getting to spend time with each and every one of you working on this stuff. It is like one of my most favorite things to do, like ever. So send me an email and we'll see what we can make happen. Now, follow along on all things social media. Just a great way to see what we've got going on. And I always forget this, so I've got to go back to it. But when you go to the webpage, on that first page, just scroll all the way to the bottom, click join the mailing list. It's an easy way to know all that's happening, right? Where I'm at, the latest podcasts, the latest videos, the latest resources, the public events that are happening, all those different things. Just sign up and you will get a lovely little weekly check-in, as I call it, to your inbox about once a week. It comes out like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, roughly around there. Social media is a great way just to see fun stuff that I'm posting, to see just different things like that. I have LinkedIn. That's where most people follow me. If you want less business, more memes, more stuff like that. Less business, more memes and stuff like that. And some of it hop related, a whole bunch of it not, mostly not, and most of it overlaid with the soundtrack of my life, so varying songs and whatnot. Instagram is a great way to do that. It's just the Hop Nerd. And then, of course, the Hop Nerd YouTube channel. As I make videos, I upload them there. There's no posting schedule. It's not like you can go sign up, you get one a week, two a week, 72 a week. You get like six on a Monday, and then 4 or 5 weeks later, you get one. But again, if you subscribe, It's an easy way to find these videos. I just want to remind you, because a lot of people forget. But when you see videos on YouTube, eventually they will make it to the website. And once they make it to the website, you can just click download and you can take them and you can go use them. You can put them to good use. I am telling you right now, here, the world can hear this, right? Use it. If you want to use it in your presentation, use it. If you want to share it, go share it. Download it. The only rule is just do good with it. That's it. That's the only rule. So, with all that being said, I do have a busy fall schedule coming up. Send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, if you need a hand. The calendar has got some openings, but it is slowly getting more and more and more and more and more compressed. Now, if you email me right now, if you listen to the last episode, you know I'm more than likely still on vacation. So, there's a high probability that I will not respond to you, at least for another week or two. But go ahead and send me those. Dates are first come, first serve. Happy to make it happen. Would love to make it happen. So, with all that being said, let's jump right on in to today's episode. You know, I always freaking forget this, that, you know, I have a merch store, and it's nothing like crazy fancy or anything, but I've been trying my best. As you know, I told you we were jumping into the episode, but I got to take a second to do this because I'm not going to go, like, edit all the crap I just said. That's not how things work around here, in case you haven't figured it out. You get the raw and the real, and unless it's just a me having a coughing fit or a guest, which this is rare. It has happened once or twice, but a guest saying, you got to cut that out. You can't. Right? That's super rare, and it's nothing super good. It's usually just like I put my foot in my mouth, and that didn't quite come out right. Can we just pause? And yeah, so of course, yeah. But almost always, you just get this stuff other than a slice and a dice to put in some fancy horn music. There's not much editing that goes into these things. So I always forget to tell you that we've got some merch, and that merch is getting better and better and better with time. And what I mean by that is if you've been around for a minute, you know, like we've got like the logo stuff, like there's a hat that says the podcast. And here's a shirt that says the podcast. And I love those. And many of you do too. Many of you rock those shirts. And I see you at events, you're wearing them. And it's super cool. Like, it's just cool, right? You can't pretend that that's not cool. I have to look at that and go, holy freaking cow, that's cool. Yeah, it's very humbling, right? When somebody says, I got your shirt. Like, it's just neat, man. It's just cool. But over time, and especially more recently here over the past 5 to 6 months or so, we've been really stepping up our game with the merch, and the merch is 99.9% just podcast stuff, right? But I've been working with local artists and some artists that I discovered online, and been working with friends and even some of you, to come up with some really cool designs. And there's new designs there. I would encourage you, if you get a second here, or if you are on your computer hiding this behind, you know, your little Teams meeting stuff. I don't think that many organizations have blocked thehopnerd.com yet. Some for sure. some for sure. But yours probably hasn't. So when you type it in, you're not going to go on the naughty list for looking at dirty, dirty, dirty stuff. But just go to thehopnerd.com right now if you got a second and just browse at it. There's just some cool stuff. And it's just a great way to support the pod. So obviously I'm not sitting here trying to sell you t-shirts. That's not what I do for a living, but they're cool. I wear them. I give more of them away than what we sell. But if you are looking for a neat way to support the show, what we're doing right now, you can just pick up a shirt. It literally helps us just keep the lights on. It really does. And if you're looking for a free way to support the podcast, just leaving us a 5-star review, it helps an absolute ton. Just sharing it, just going on social media and sharing these episodes, just seeing when we drop new episodes and we post stuff about it, just sharing that stuff. Again, the reviews, the shares, picking up a t-shirt, buying a book, all that stuff goes straight to helping this podcast on its 300 and something episode right now. I don't know what number this is. I'm guessing, and I'm known to be wrong, but I'm guessing that this is 317. I think I'm right. And usually the more I think I'm right, the more that I'm wrong. There we go. We're going to call it 317 for this episode. Okay, with that out of the way, because I just have to tell you, because I haven't even got mine yet. I just ordered like prototypes and stuff. So many of you know, print on demand, that's how this stuff works. Like, I can't have a warehouse because it's just me, myself, and I. Like, I do all the stuff for the Hoppner LLC. So I can't be here, there, and everywhere and ship t-shirts, and it just doesn't work that way. So print on demand stuff, I work with a company that does a great printing stuff, and I trust them when they send stuff. I don't have to get a prototype first and approve it. I know that it's going to come out sick. All right. It's just going to be sick. But go check out the latest designs. I'm waiting on mine. If you get yours before I get mine, I'm still going to be a little sad. I'm just going to be real with you. But I'll be pumped. If you do pick up a shirt, if you do grab a book, if you do pick up the hat, take a picture. Tag me on it in social media. I would love to see those things. I would absolutely love to see you rocking your Hop Nerd Podcast shirt, your Hop Nerd Podcast hat, 10 ideas to make safety suck less. I would love to see those things. I'd love to share them. So, okay, with all that out of the way, I want to talk about human error. A lot of places I go, that's still a large chunk of our discussion. Yeah, we know this stuff, so we assume that everyone else knows this stuff. It's a trap that we fall into. It is. It's an easy trap to fall into. I know I fall into this, and I was having this conversation with some other hot practitioners that we all fall into this, especially when we have these conversations a lot. And I'm assuming that if you're listening to this podcast, you might be brand new to this. And if you are, this is a great conversation for you to tune into. I would encourage you to dive deeper, 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 deeper into the podcast and find some of those basics episodes and some of those different things to really understand some of the basics. But we have this conversation a lot. And what I was going to say is that I assume that if you're listening here, at least a good 80% of you probably have these conversations a lot. You're having same similar conversations that I'm having. You're having them internal to your organization. There's a problem, though. At some point while we're having these conversations, we start to assume that just because we know something, other people know something. Just because we've said this 1,000 times, do I really need to say this? The dialogue in our head, because I know I do this sometimes too, where I'm having a conversation. I'm like, oh, I don't think I need to say this. I need to make an assumption that they all know this. I bet they all know this. They've had these conversations before. Do I really need to dive deep into error is normal? Do I really need to say this? Do I really need to say that? It feels like, I don't know. I'm sure they got it. Danger, danger, danger. Danger, danger, danger. There's this funny thing that happens, to me at least, just about every time that I do that. And now my default is if I pause internally while I'm talking and I'm having this conversation and I'm thinking at the same time, okay, I know kind of what I'm going to say next. Do I really need to say this, or is this a bit too basic for this group? The default move is just say it. And what I found with that is that when I do that, after the session, almost always people come up to me, and it's the wackiest little thing that I'm like, oh, everybody knows this. They're like, that thing that you said, holy crap, it blew my mind. That only has to happen to you once or twice when you default to just say it, for you to realize you need to just say it. So to start this conversation, and kind of how I found myself back here, is we can't just assume that everybody knows. We just can't assume that. And when we start to assume that, we start pulling out information. Just because I've taught this for 1,000 different times in 1,000 different ways doesn't mean that you've sat through it 1,000 different times in 1,000 different ways. It just doesn't mean that. Yeah, I run into this as I do work in organizations sometimes, where a lot of times I partner up, right? I'm partnered up with internal folks, where we do series of workshops, and like we take this throughout an organization over time, right? Me, myself, and I, again, and we teach this workshop, and we might teach a same similar workshop. It's the same thing. They're all a little different because that's just how this goes, but it's the same thing. And we do that 20 times. And by the time we do it 2 or 3 times, they're like, aren't you going to say something different? It's like, listen, you've heard this 3 times straight. They haven't. Don't assume just because it's beat to death with you now that everybody else has heard it. You just can't do that. So that let me bring this back, since I've laid some of that groundwork. Error is normal. Yeah, error is absolutely normal. And again, many of you know this. It's so normal that it's born. Let me frame this up for you in a couple different ways that might be useful to you, whether you're brand new to this idea that human error is a super duper boring and normal and probably the one thing that we can depend on in our organization that is actually going to 100% chance happen. Right? It's always there, right? In highly successful outcomes and not so successful outcome, error is always there. It's our constant. Let me give you a couple different ways to think about this that, again, I think will be useful to the person that's just hearing this for the first time and for people that have been having this conversation for many, many years. Hopefully it puts another little tool in your tool belt of a way to have this conversation. And I have this conversation. I have this conversation in my sessions all the time. The first one is, yeah, we've got all of our basic ways, and we can show this with studies and data, and we can show this with this or that or the other. But when I start to think about the label of human error, especially post-event, I like to think of it as in this way. I'm a visual person. You got to give me a visual something. And so I like to give people visual stuff. When we say human error post-event, when we land on operator error as the cause of this bad, horrible thing happening, or maybe not so bad and horrible, but we just didn't like it, it's like someone gifting us a book, and it is a gift. Yeah, it's a gift. We might not have had any say in whether or not we get this gift. And it might not feel super good, but it is a gift. When someone hands us this gift, they hand us this old, dusty book. This old, thick, dusty book. You know it's old for a couple reasons. It's got this big old faded leather cover on it. It just screams old. Yeah. Another way you can tell, the pages are kind of torn and frayed and yellowed out. And if you just flip through, you see a bunch of doodles and scribbles and highlights and stuff marked out. And it's very well traveled. It's a very well traveled book. And the best way that you know that it's old is it's got book stink. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, book stink. It smells like an old book. I didn't know this. I was doing some sessions telling this tale the other day, and the people were like, you know, you can get candles that are book stink. I don't think they call them book stink, but they call them like old library. Yeah, so I didn't know that, but I'm curious. I'm going to have to go buy one now because I kind of like book stink. Maybe a little book stink with some lavender on it. I don't know. That might just be... That might just make the office here smell phenomenal, all right? I think that's good. I got a bunch of books, so I'm getting the book stink, but not so much lavender. So if there's a way to add lavender to the book stink and it is in the form of a candle, I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it. But it's an old, 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 thick book. Now, that book in those hundreds and hundreds of pages is just chock full of interesting, wildly interesting information. It's got all the stuff that makes a good story, ups, downs, zigs, zags. It probably even has some drama, foreshadowing. It's got all that stuff. It's all there. When we call something human error, when we label something human error post-event, it's like taking that old dusty book full of all that super duper interesting information, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages in length, opening it to the first page, reading the first couple words that say human error, circling it, check marks, maybe highlighting it, closing it, putting it back on the shelf and pretending that we know the rest of the story. There's a whole bunch more like a world full of more interesting information deeper in that book. There's so much more information beyond that first page. The first page is always a great place to start on the story with the book, yeah? But you never stop there. that's probably, you know, you might get the kapow, you know, that first line that's like, holy crap, this is going to be good. But if you don't go beyond the first page, you're missing the entire point, yeah? So that's one way that I like to share human error. So take that, use that, tell that story. I share that story in my workshops all the time. It's just a great way for people like me, at least. I got to see it, and that's a great way to see it. It's just a great way to see it. Now, another thing that I do is I'll take a can of soda, and whether actually using a can of soda or just make believe or just telling the story like this, it's just another great way to have this conversation. We'll take that can and I'll shake it and I'll talk about an organizational weakness or condition. Yeah, I'll shake it. I'd be like, you know, vague, unclear guidance, something along those lines. And I'll hand it to somebody and they'll shake it and they'll say something and it'll sound something like competing goal conflicts. And then they'll shake it and then they'll pass it on. And it's like, you know, and you get where I'm going and on and on and on. And you do this in a room full of folks and you can easily come up with just make believe 10, 15, 20 and more of these weaknesses, these kind of brittle spots, these places that we know, right? That we know, these faint signals of things that haven't gone wrong but are actively going wrong, right? These things that we know tend to lead us to having bad days when they all draw into alignment, you know, and the stars come together. Now, as we're doing this, as it gets to a certain person, I'm going to scream, stop. Right, so you're seeing this in your head. We're shaking up this can. We're talking about these pain points, these problems, these issues, these conditions within our organizations. And it's, we're going down this chain of people, and we're at person number 11, and we say, stop. Okay. Now, this person, they have to pretend, and there's a bit of pretend here, they have to pretend that they didn't see all the shaking that was taking place. Maybe they heard that the can gets shaken up sometimes, but yeah. And we also have to understand what cans are designed for. It's a hot, muggy summer day, and somebody's just gifted me an ice-cold can of soda. And what do you do with ice-cold cans of soda? If I give you an ice-cold can of soda, you're going, and it's hot and muggy especially, you're going to open it up, and you're going to have a little sip. Yeah, yeah. So open the can. And, of course, we never do, right? That's rare. I've had that happen once. But we open the can, and now we're sticky. The can's spewed everywhere. It's bad. It's the event, right? Now, in the past, the way that we've approached this is we'll look at that, and we'll analyze each and every step of that process in the very micro sense of you opening that can at 7:59 a.m. Operator, open can. Yeah, you're right. You know what I'm talking about. We mentioned this in another episode talking about accident investigation. We'll gain that retrospective understanding in a very, very narrow sense of can opening operations. Yeah, uh-huh. Can opening operations. Pretty slick, huh? And we'll point to you opening that can as error because you shoulda, coulda, woulda. Did you not do your pre-can brief? We have a rule that says you must do your pre-can brief. Did your supervisor give you a pre-can brief? Did your supervisor observe you while you were doing this can opening operation? Did you not do? You should have done your pre-can squeeze check. Pre-can squeeze check. Pre-can squeeze check. Oh, my God. If you would have only just squeezed the can, you could have discovered that there was a pressure buildup in the can, and you could have avoided this catastrophe to begin with. If only you would have, should have, you could have. And I would have never, I would have definitely done my pre-can brief, and I would have done, did you not refer to your can opening operations neck lanyard card? Because if you would have referred to your can opening operations neck lanyard card that we made sure that everybody has, because we handed them out with apple turnovers, and we held balloons at the gate a few weeks ago to give you all these, because we had another can-related event not that long ago. If you would have referred to your can opening procedures that are printed on your can opening operations card that you wear around your neck, as you see, I can see this is there, you're wearing it, you would have known that if you did your pre-can brief and you did your pre-can squeeze check, then you would discover that pressure that you should have did 14 taps on top of the can, and you would have minimized the opportunity for this event to happen. Error, human error. And sometimes we'll say mistake, and then what we'll usually say is something like violation, willful non-compliance. You knew that it was there, we trained you on it, we taught you about it, we gave you the stupid lanyard card. But what are we doing? What are we doing? We're missing the point. The last person that got that can, a can that is designed for you to open, especially on a hot, muggy day, a nice ice cold can of cola, is meant to be opened and for you to drink it. They use the can for exactly what the can was meant to be used for. But we neglect all of the shaking. We get too obsessed with the last couple steps in that process. Human error. We get obsessed with the triggering event. When really we should dig far deeper into all that shaking. That's the more interesting part. The shaking that person that opened the can didn't see, didn't know about. All of that shaking, that person that opened the can was just a person in a long line of pain points, problems, and issues. Pain points, problems, and issues that they were gifted when gifted that can, and they didn't realize it. And their mistake, their error, their unawareness to those things just triggered the event. The interesting stuff's way back there in all that shaking. Dig deeper. So two just more fun ways, I guess, to think about human error, or examples, I guess, that you could use here to have some of these conversations in your organization. And if you're new to this conversation, just a great place to start thinking about it. I really, 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 really hate that we have to have that conversation as much as we do. It's a real fun conversation. I'm not saying it's not fun to have this conversation, but it still feels like we have it far too much. But I don't know. I always have to tell myself that we have to keep having this conversation because we still view air as the cause when really it's just the trigger. The more interesting stuff is far deeper. It's deeper in that book. It's farther back in all that can shaking that we were doing, going around the room. As saying, I use this as an example a bunch, shaking the can up and doing our little can boogie. You know, it's farther back there. Air is so normal that it's boring. It's boring. I really like the old Todd Conklin quote. It's one of my most favorites from Todd, is that, you know, saying something happened because of human error is like saying something fell because of gravity. It's always going to be true, but it doesn't tell you very much. There's not much to learn there. Yeah, it's true, but the interesting stuff is deeper. It's deeper in that book. It's farther back in that chain of all that can shaking that was going on. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah, it's farther back there. There's another one from Sidney Decker that I like to share. It's, again, it's one of my most favorite quotes of all time, and I'm gonna butcher this and just paraphrase it and just say that citing human error as a cause is about as useful as saying that the operator was breathing at the time of the event. Yeah, it's boring. It's boring. There's far deeper information buried deeper in that book. Human error is a triggering event. It's a starting point. Human error is the beginning, not the end. The deeper, far more interesting story, you got to get past the first page to discover that story. It's deeper in that book. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.